God's word for you is Psalm 15. We'll do all five verses. A psalm of David. The question of this psalm is clear. Who may live in your house, O Lord? And the answer cuts us all to the heart. None of us. Just like Psalm 5 and Psalm 14, our sins are exposed and our lives are ripped open in these words because we cannot stand before the holy Lord of creation. But there is one who can. We'll read the whole psalm. Lord, who may live in your tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does not harm his friend and does not shame his neighbor, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his word even when it costs him, who lends his money without demanding interest and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. These observations seem simple if one reads them quickly. Oh, I'm a Christian. My walk is blameless. Fairly blameless, anyway. I do righteous things and a few other things. I speak the truth and some other things. I have no slander on my tongue, almost. I don't do my neighbor any wrong. Well, at least I cast no slur on other people. Well, actually, the deeper we begin to search our hearts, the more convicted we are. We go back up the list and we finally land on he whose walk is blameless and we end up falling to our knees. We aren't blameless. We do not deserve to live with God in heaven. Who does what is righteous? Well, Psalm 143 says, "No one living is righteous before you." But God gives righteousness as a gift in us. And because it is a gift of God alone, it can only be hindered, Luther says, by any works we do. It cannot be acquired by our works. And Jesus explains this by saying, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." John 8:44. So, righteousness is a divine work in us, done by God on our behalf, because what we mortal men achieve is closer to iniquity than righteousness, to perdition than salvation. That's Luther again. And Hosea says, "Your destruction is your own, O Israel. Your salvation comes from me." To speak the truth from the heart is to speak in a godly way without lying, or rather, and without trying, without even being tempted to lie or to twist things to one's own favor or advantage. This, too, is a problem for sinful men. How often does the Bible speak of truth in a man's heart? Well, in almost every instance of truth being spoken of, it is God who speaks the truth, gives the truth, and who is himself the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus said. Slander is the speech of a fool, and the godless destroys his neighbor with his mouth, so don't believe everything you hear. It is easier to harm a friend with words than with any other weapon. Bringing shame to your neighbor is easy to do, but no easy thing to live with, whether you are the one shamed or the one who brought it to light. "For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame?" Proverbs 25 says. And yet the wicked neighbor gets no mercy. Proverbs 21:10. The godly man must despise a vile and sinful man, calling him to repentance if it's possible, although a fool finds pleasure in his evil conduct, Proverbs 10:23 says. And fools detest turning from evil, Proverbs 13:19 says. Therefore the godly person will turn away and honor those who fear the Lord, seeking them out to clasp hands and rejoice in their faith, for godliness has value for all things. Verse 4 ends with the difficult saying, "He keeps his word even when it costs him." Now the Hebrew words say literally, "The one who swears will be hurt, yet will not change." If you're going to take the trouble to take an oath, then don't break it. Do not prove false about things you promise to do or not to do. Never say, "Oh, but I changed my mind." Would you want your wife to say to you, "I guess I want to be married to someone else"? Or would you want your children to say, we're sorry you feel lonely in your old age, but we want to go and do something to please ourselves instead of spend any time with you? Or would you want your bank to say, thanks for letting us use your money. We've decided not to give it back to you. A promise is a promise. Be the example other people follow, not the exception other people avoid. The 19th century theologian George Bush said, we nowhere learn from the law of Moses that the simple taking of interest, especially from the neighboring nations, was forbidden to the Israelites by the divine law, but rather the divine law would give no countenance to the griping and extortionate practices to which miserly moneylenders are always prone. Remember, God says, that you are lending to my people, my poor, and therefore take no advantage of their necessities. Trust me against the fear of loss and treat them kindly and generously. That's from a book he wrote called Notes on the Book of Exodus. This psalm is really an interesting and rare example of something called climactic parallelism in a unique form. Here, the initial paired question, verse 1, is answered by four pairs of responses, or actually five pairs of responses, which build one on the other. And the fifth and final response is a triplet, not a couplet. And it's concluded with a rare single verse rather than a constructed couplet. So the outline looks like this. The first is the question, who may live? And then, first of all, one who is blameless or walks in a righteous way. Then one with truth and not slander. And who does no harm and does not shame, and who despises the one thing and honors the other, and then who keeps his word and lends and does not accept bribes, he will never be shaken. Now, perhaps the sixth group above, the one with he keeps his word and lends and does not accept bribes, maybe that's not a single triplet, but it could even be three shorter couplets. But that's an argument. This whole thing is an argument for poets and translators. But to conclude, the 15th Psalm teaches us our sins. The rest of the Bible shows us our Savior. For where we have fallen on our faces and eaten dust in these sins of ours, God has sent his Son down to rescue us and forgive us. It is through Jesus alone that we will never be shaken. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.